Welcome to the Fitness Canter Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Feigl. I'll be bringing you the truth about exercise by interviewing fitness professionals, exercise science professors and researchers, as well as fitness industry entrepreneurs and leaders. Hopefully you take this info and apply it to have a better, healthier, and happier lifestyle. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Fitness Canter Podcast. I am joined today with a new friend, Mr. Stephen Bryant. We met through the Strength Performance Network, and we've been chatting back and forth via Twitter and text, and I know he's going to be a great asset, especially to people who are strength coaches and young athletes. So welcome to the show, Stephen. Thanks for taking the time out to be with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I think you're going to be able to shed some light, especially for young athletes and coaches coaching young athletes. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, and go into what you do now.
Absolutely. Texas born and raised, originally from West Texas. Grew up Dad was a coach, so was really, you know, big into sports and things like that. Got the opportunity to go play football at TCU whenever I graduated high school. Went and played football there. Learned a lot. Had a great career. Unfortunately, had a good multitude of injuries, which kind of held me back a couple times. And it was at that point that I really kind of realized that I wanted to learn more about the body. Kind of, you know, being in the training room more than I wanted to. Forced me to kind of learn about the knee and the shoulder and things like that. And so originally my plan was going to school was to be a coach, and kind of follow in my dad's footsteps. But going through those injuries and kind of learning about the body, like I said, and what was going on really kind of steered me more into the strength side of things and really wanted to try to help younger athletes, you know, to stay out of the training room and to do things right. With proper form, you know, to understand why they're doing things and the purpose for what they're doing them for and to make them better athletes. And so they can perform and rather than spending time in the training room. So, took that field up, decided, to go that way, in the strength aspect of things. When I got done playing at TCU, was fortunate enough to get a chance to work with, the TCU strength and conditioning, group. Worked with Coach Zach Dakin, who's really well known in the industry. Learned a ton, and that really kind of just sparked me even more to learn more. After doing that, was really fortunate to get involved with a company called Performance Course, and took off from there. Worked with them and worked with high school athletes, and it really kind of was able to broaden my horizon on what I wanted to learn more about and understanding the body even more than what I thought I knew. And now I'm here, you know, trying to continue to learn, continue to help people that I can, especially younger individuals who's trying to get into the industry.
Right on. You know, what I find really fascinating is most people that I talk to in the strength and conditioning and personal training side of things is most of them started out as some type of athlete, or they had an interest in athletics, or they were really involved with someone who was, you know, very successful in athletics, and then it just kind of takes you in that path, and you want to help people become better, and so, you know, learning about the body and obviously training them is the best way to do that, because I mean, you know, the guys that I train with athletes, so it just kind of takes you down that path, and once you get into it, you fall in love with it, I think, and you just want to pass that down to people, so that's awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what would you say transferring from being a football player at TCU and then starting your career as a strength coach, what's some of the foundations that you try to instill into your athletes? What does that look like?
I mean, basically, one of my main things is technique. You know, nowadays there's, you know, athletes that it's all about how much weight you can put on the bar. And they want to lift the most amount of weight, especially guys, you know, when it comes to bench press. They want to see who, you know, they ask you, what's your bench press? They don't ask you, you know, what's your squat or anything like that. It's all about the bench press and it's all about numbers and record boards and things like that. When I think
right.
A lot of times coaches nowadays can miss the importance of building the foundation and building, you know, from the ground up, you know, like a building. You don't start way up high. You build it on that foundation. You set that solid base, and then that's when you kind of grow and build that building up, you know, as tall as it can be. And so I think we have to know that building the foundation is the most important. And in order to do that, you have to have great technique. You know, learning how to hinge, learning how to squat correctly, learning how to do a push-up. You know, we come across some kids that can't even do a push-up yet. Some coaches will have them doing bench press. You know, if you can't do a push-up, why would you be bench pressing?
Right.
You know, it kind of falls into the thing of, you know, sometimes less is more. You learn to do the things correctly, and that's in the long run is gonna develop you more athletically, and also, you know, keep you away from those nagging injuries and keep you out of the training room. And that's what I tell my athletes each and every day is, you know, whether we're going off a percentage, whether we're going off of, you know, RPE, whatever it may be, and how we're trying to work, you know, a certain degree of exertion. I tell them, remember, you know, it's all about quality, it's not quantity. Partners that are watching or spotting, you know, if you see something's off and that weight may be a little bit too heavy today, you know, maybe they had a stressful night, maybe they didn't get enough sleep, whatever it may be, their body may not be ready for that stress, okay? Maybe we need to back off just a little bit, make sure that technique is right. And so a lot of my athletes really understand that, and I think that has made them really understand, you know, how to improve on a lift and continue to improve, rather than saying, oh man, I squat maxed 400 pounds, but I was on my toes and now my back hurts and now my knees hurt and now I'm in a training room, I can't squat for 2 months. So building that foundation and being able to regress whenever you think it's time to regress, and then even progress whenever you feel like it's a good time to progress, is a big thing that that can help us to continue to develop these athletes in a functional way.
Definitely. Do you find that when you start, let's say, working with a younger athlete, do you find that they automatically just want to jump into those bigger lifts and those bigger exercises, or do you find that most of them are pretty open to suggestion and looking for guidance?
I think there's a mixture. I mean, you get some kids, you know, you'll come in, the first thing that you'll go in and say, are we going to bench press today? You know, when we're starting a program.
Yeah.
And obviously we come in with, you know, with Performance Force, the company that I work with. We come in from an outside source and we help train the athletes, you know, kind of take some pressure off of the strength coach that's there or the coaches that's there so that they can totally focus on the sport itself. We can help, you know, the conditioning aspect, strength and power and things like that. So it kind of helps, you know, take a load off of the coach's hands so we can take and do our job so they can do their job basically. But when we come in there, they'll always ask, we always want to get a feel for what the athletes can and can't do. You know, we'll have our program set, but if we're sitting there and they'll come in and ask, are we going to bench press? And it'll be like, first of all, let me see, let's do some push-ups and see if we can do some push-ups first, you know, see how we are there with our core stability, you know, our upper body mechanics and things like that. Cause the last thing we want to do is, you know, coming in, you know, and not necessarily being around the kids as much as the coach would. We want to make sure that we understand how they're moving and not just assume that they know how to do these things.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like a lot of people assume just because even, you know, we work all the way from, you know, kindergarten, first grade, all the way to seniors in high school, you know, so, and it's a plethora of athletes, a plethora of different movements, and it's a lot of different, you know, dysfunctions that can go on there. And so you can't just assume that every athlete, whether is going to have a perfect hinge, or they're all going to know how to hinge when you walk in there, or they're all going to know how to squat or anything like that. So you're going to have your, you know, different varieties of movements. Also, you know, taller, shorter athletes and things like that. So, assuming I think can be really a killer for some coaches, just to assume and say, you know, I wrote this program. This program's awesome. I follow this, you know, this program. This is what we're doing. It's going to be awesome. And it might look good on paper, but in the long run, when you walk in there, and you say, all right, here we go. We're going 5 sets of 5 or whatever it may be on front squat. And they get under the bar and it's just horrible. You know, you got to be able to say, okay, hold on. We got to regress. That's not the plan now. So we might have to regress to a goblet or even a simple pillar squat, you know, depending on what level you're working with. So I think back to your question, obviously, that you asked, walking in, some kids will kind of get excited and say, are we going to bench press? And, you know, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? and you'll kind of have to explain to them, like, hey, let's see if we can do a push-up. And you kind of explain to them, hey, if we can do a push-up, we can build this foundation. I'll guarantee you your bench press is going to be, you know, outstanding when you're this age as compared to, you know, kind of plateauing because you bench press wrong the whole time that you're doing it, and your body's not going to be able to adapt anymore. So,
yeah. That makes a lot of sense because, especially with younger athletes, they don't really understand the whole fact that the strength training is going to help you reduce injury. But done improperly, it could actually – you could end up getting injured. So that's
absolutely.
I'm sure that kind of builds into the whole progression and regression that you mentioned. So what in a younger athlete with, let's say, like an in-season athlete, what does a program look like? And you could, you know, pick any sport that you want, but what does something like that look like when someone's in-season?
In-season-wise, I mean, obviously in-season, since they're going to be getting a great amount of stress with, you know, their practices and their games that are being taken place. Obviously we're not going to, the weight room is not going to be a huge priority. We're not going to sit there and go and walk in there and, you know, and drop the percentages down to 30% and say, hey, just, you know, do this, do that. We definitely want to maintain and even kind of improve on some things that we may not be super good at. So if we're working with, you know, basketball players, we want to make sure that we continue to maintain an even kind of stress, a little bit of that strength level. Because obviously, you know, if you lose strength, then you lose power. You lose power, you can't jump. And so
right. We
want to make sure that we stress them just enough, you know, to continue to maintain and slightly improve throughout the season, those qualities, you know, those biomotor abilities to be able to continue those strength levels and power development. But like I said, we don't want to stress them so much to where it's going to impact their ability to play the sport. You know, that's the reason that they went through off season. That's the reason they went through preseason, was to be able to perform and be able to get up and jump and be able to change directions and accelerate. And so we don't want to hinder that any, by adding too much volume or anything in the weight room.
Right.
We want to make sure that we hit those major lifts. And so, you know, we'll factor in, you know, our squats and our main compound lifts, working, you know, in the, 60 to 80% range. And maybe even if we're trying to peak a little bit more, if we have some more time before games, you know, maybe go a little heavier for singles or something like that. But, we definitely, want to make sure that we don't lose what we've gained throughout that off season and preseason. So, but then again, like you were saying, if something needs to be regressed, you know, we're able to do that as well. We can also obviously stress the body in a multitude of ways. It doesn't have to just be set in stone. You know, we want to make sure that they're getting the most bang for their buck when it comes to performing, in the weight room to help themselves, you know, achieve and accomplish certain goals on the court or on the field or anything like that. So,
absolutely, there's a pretty fine balance between being able to push that athlete without overtraining them in certain situations, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. To circle back to something you mentioned earlier about how you and Performance Course like to take some responsibility off the coaches. How do you guys prepare, and how do the coaches prepare athletes mentally? Because you got a pretty good feel about how physically, how you do the job. But when you're looking at an athlete physically, it's a lot different preparing them mentally. How do you go about doing that with a young athlete?
Absolutely. We do a lot of, and with the company, with Performance Course, we do a lot of character development. We do a lot of, you know, working, talking about, you know, a certain attitude, belief, leadership, consistency, effort, desire, all these things that we as we feel not only are important for an athlete, but for people, you know, in general. You know, someone, you need to have a great attitude. You need to have fantastic effort. And so we have a lot of talks and a lot of discussions with our athletes about, hey, you know, today, you know, let's talk about attitude. Okay. Sometimes you go into a situation and you know, you don't want to do something and you don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You're kind of having a bad day. Can you flip that switch? Can you sit there and say, you know what? I'm here not only for myself, but for my teammates. I need to mentally lock in and get focused because we're here for a certain goal. okay, whether that goal be a district championship, whether that goal be a state championship or undefeated season, I need to be able to lock in and flip that switch and say everything that's going on, you know, outside of this team, this environment right here, right now, can I mentally prepare myself for this workout or for this challenge or for this conditioning and get better for myself and for my team? And so we do a lot of mental development, on top of physical development, a lot of character development, kind of just to see how can you push yourself, you know, from within. Because there's two things that are hard for coaches to sit there and say to control, you know, and we say that's attitude and effort. I can sit there and tell you, I can tell an athlete all day, hey, I need more effort. I need more effort. Hey, man, give me a little better attitude. You know, you don't have a great attitude today. But in the long run, if they don't want to give effort, they're not really going to give effort. You know, I can run them, you know, till, you know, they're on their hands and knees. But in the long run, you know, is that really going to solve the issue? So we want to not just torture them and make them, you know, die, but we want to talk to them and make them understand the importance of working hard for your team, working hard for yourself. And like I said, being able to flip that switch for your teammates and mentally get yourself engaged and mentally get yourself tough whenever you feel tired or whenever you feel like you're kind of out of it a little bit, and get yourself into that zone of hey, I'm here for a certain purpose. Let's get after it. All right. I can worry about all the other stuff whenever I get out of here. But for right now, to my teammates to the right, teammates to the left, I'm here for y'all. I'm going to get better for y'all today. So we try to instill, you know, that holding each other accountable, making sure that everybody understands that, you know, you have a role. Everybody has a role on a team. And, you know, some roles might be greater than others and things like that. But in the long run, it is a team effort. And you need everybody to be involved, everybody to be engaged. And I think that we do a good, really good job at getting athletes to understand that aspect when it comes to it's not all about physical development. You know, you got to mentally be locked in order to get yourself better.
Right. And all of that transfers directly to that individual sport, too. And probably, I mean, if you're dealing with young athletes that have schoolwork and home lives and everything else, I mean, all of that is part of the character development that transfers onto the field, to the court, their home life, their personal life.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's all parts of it. I think people kind of laugh sometimes when you talk about how sports and athletics and weightlifting and strength training and exercise in general really contribute to the rest of your life, because if you do have like that mental attitude about it, more than likely, if it's a good attitude about it, that's going to transfer to the other things that you're doing.
Absolutely.
If it's a piss poor attitude, that's going to spill over also. You got a piss poor attitude in the gym, it's going to transfer to the court. You're probably not going to have a good game. You're going to be pissed off at home, and it's just going to, it's like a trickle down effect.
Definitely. And that's in like, yeah. And I mean, and we don't stress that just, you know, just whenever we're programming or we're working with the athletes. We sit there and say, hey, having a great effort is not just when you walk in here for this 90 minutes. You know, I don't want, you know, a good attitude, or I don't want great effort. I don't want you to have desire just for this 90 minutes. I want you to have that for your entire life. Like, I want you to go to work and give great effort. I want you to go home on your homework and give great effort. I want you to go home and talk to your parents and have a great attitude, you know, when they ask you, how was your day? Because that's going to carry over, you know, like you said, throughout life, and that's going to make you someone that wants, you know, that people want to be around. And that could influence, you know, just a multitude of things as you get older. And like you said, yeah, if you have a great attitude whenever, you know, things are really hard, it's going to make you enjoyable to be around. And it's going to kind of, you know, help influence those that need that a little bit of guidance, that may be struggling a little bit. And that's why we talk about leadership as well. You know, everybody needs someone to follow starting out. All right. Sometimes, there's leaders and there's followers. And sometimes those followers just need somebody that they can interact with and sit there and say, man, I love how they do this. I love how they do that. I love how they give effort. I love how they don't ever complain. I want to be that person. And so it's about influencing others, you know, in a positive way to not only make, you know, like I said, your teammates better on the field or on the court, but to make them better individuals, you know, in throughout the rest of their life. And so, yeah, our character development is not just a thing that we do for 90 minutes, sit there and say, hey, it's just for this 90 minutes. I want you to focus on your attitude. No, when you get out of here, man, I want you to have a great attitude. Whenever you wake up in the morning and go to school, I want you to have a great attitude. And I think that we are able to really try to really impact a lot of athletes to become not only better athletes, but better individuals.
I mean, it really sounds like it. Because you got a really good grasp on, especially to tell a kid, a young athlete, that when you're away from your sport or your activity, you're still part of a team, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to play. Being part of life in general, you're part of a team. You're going to be at work, in school, so all that's going to reflect. You made some really good points.
Definitely.
Let's circle back to the exercise thing. I want to talk a little bit about warm-ups for athletes. I think it's a really kind of a hot topic. From person to person, coach to coach, everybody has a different method behind it. Just like strength, everybody has a different method behind it. What are some of your and performance courses' outlooks on warm-up techniques?
Especially for young athletes. Yeah, no, what you just said, I absolutely 100% agree. I think sometimes we get so, locked in on, hey, we got to squat today, so let's just jump under the bar and start squatting, when sometimes it takes a little, you just need a, and I'm not saying you have to warm up for 30 minutes, obviously that's a little excessive, but, definitely getting in those certain mobility, stability requirements that each joint, the joint-by-joint approach is what we follow, getting those in pre-exercise, I think is definitely important to not only prepare them for their activity for that day, but also to help, just in daily living, being able to move, properly. But we follow a joint by joint approach, which works, ankle mobility, knee stability, hip mobility, all the way up, the kinetic chain, and make sure we try to hit those, whether it be, in a dynamic warm up or whether we're, stationary and moving dynamically through Spider-Man lunges with rotations for the T-spine and the hip mobility, to ankle circles, to things like that, we find that definitely getting our body prepared and our core temperature up is going to help improve those, whether we're working strength development, power development, for that session. And so we are very particular in making sure that we work through our warm-up progressions, and through to help make sure our athletes are prepared, and also to reduce the chances of an injury happening because of we were too locked down with wanting to squat so getting under this bar so fast, we didn't give our chance to heat up and get our body prepared mentally and physically. And so we definitely take the time to work our athletes through a dynamic specific kind of dynamic warm up. Either on the field or in the weight room, depending on what our goal for that day is. And to, like I said, to make sure that they are mentally and physically prepared for that day.
That's a really good point you brought up, because it kind of circles all the way back. You kind of brought the whole thing full circle, because during the warm-up, that's kind of cool, because during the warm-up, that's a perfect time to get mentally prepared just for the workout itself. You're not
absolutely
coming in there, you're thinking, oh shit, now I have to get underneath this bar and squat my brains out. So instead, you're like, all right, I'm going to go through this X, where, however long it lasts, 10 minutes of a prep, so I can be better prepared to do this work. And then by the time you get there, hopefully you're mentally into it, you're focused, because you've done everything you need to do leading up to that point.
Definitely. And we work with athletes, there's a lot of athletes, and sport groups that we will work with, early in the morning, in which, a lot of sports will do that. We'll get going early in the morning or late, after school or whatever it may be. But there's a lot of sports that we work with early in the morning, and it is hard. It is hard to wake up and get out of bed. And, a lot of times, young athletes will just, roll out of bed and they'll come in there with their hair all spiked and, eyes still half closed. And so, asking them to just say, hey, all right, here we go. We're going power clean pulls today. Instead of just saying, hey, throw some 25s on, let's go, and their body's not prepared, that's when those injuries happen, because you're not locked in, you're not focused, you're not setting your body up for success because you're not focused. And so, getting them to understand, hey, all right, we're going to go through this warm-up, and like you said, it gives them a chance, 10 minutes worth of, hey, okay, I got to lock in. Or, oh, I kind of feel a little tight here. I need to work on that. Or, this kind of feels, you know, my ankle kind of feels tight. I need to make sure that I kind of get a little bit more hip or ankle mobility going, or my hip is kind of stiff or whatever it may be. We got to make sure that we get them in a set up for the ability to perform maximally on that day and not, you know, half speed. You know, we want to make sure that we're getting there better. They're there for a purpose, and we'll tell our athletes, hey, you're here. You woke up, you got out of bed. Why not get better today? You know,
yep.
Why not make yourself better today? Why not make the person to your right and left better today? You're here already. It's time to go. And so, that warm up, I think, like you said, allows for, them to lock in and physically and mentally prepare themselves for what's in store for that day. And so, yeah, I 100% agree.
Definitely. I'm gonna steal that little slogan you just said, that you're here already. Why not get better today? I'm gonna steal it, just so you know.
Take it. I'm here to help.
I'm gonna use that. I'm
here to help.
Early morning clients, especially.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, you'll kind of see them. You'll get some stares, and they'll be like, "Well, maybe you're right. You know, I did get out of bed. The hardest part was over. The hardest part was." And I don't remember who said it. Somebody said it. I think somebody told me this one time was. Your day starts. You can defeat the day, or the day can defeat you. On when that alarm goes off, if you hit snooze, that day's already defeated you. If that alarm goes off and you get out of bed, you won the day. Now all you got to do is go perform. And so, I think that's a great way to see things. And you know, athletes come in and you kind of tell them that, hey, you're already here. Let's go to work. And then their eyes kind of open. He's right. Like, I got out of bed. You know, I drove over here. I'm here. Why not get better today? So I like to use that, and I think my athletes really kind of can take that in and say, you know what, he's right. It's time to go. So I hope you know, hopefully they're able to influence others and everything like that, and so it becomes a great session. So
absolutely, you think about, like, what I like to tell people is, especially when they come in kind of distracted, I'm like, there's nothing in the gym that's going to distract you from doing the work, because you're already here. What else do you have? There's no computer. There's no, you know, there's nobody like barking in your ear except for me. I mean, that's it. There's no, you have nothing else to worry about but these next 15 repetitions and then the next exercise. Then you're done. That's it. You know, you're not going to be sitting at your computer and then you're like, oh crap, I got to make this phone call. Oh no, I got to run out and grab the groceries. There's nothing else happening for the next 30 to 60 minutes that you have to think about.
Definitely. So, and I think a lot of strength coaches, I think that's what they like about, you know, as you get older and you get done playing sports and you continue to lift, I think people like the release from stress of life.
I think
it just helps you go in there and you don't have to worry about your homework. You don't have to worry about, you know, what's going on at work or anything like that. You kind of go in there and just spend that, you know, 45 minutes to an hour or however long, and you just get to kind of decompress and work on yourself and get yourself better. And I think that's why a lot of people really enjoy, you know, the fitness industry, because I think it kind of helps them to lock in and you know, kind of get away from those outside stressors for just a moment. And I think that's a really beneficial thing, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, hey, what other kind of projects do you have going on your end, or performance course? What else do you guys have going on over there?
Alluding back to the injury and the injury prevention, you know, that we go through with our warm up to make sure that we're prepared. We do a lot of, and this has been a big topic, you know, as far as young athletes and especially female athletes, we work with female, you know, males and everything like that, is, you know, ACL prevention and things like that. People talk about all these ACL, you know, preventative measures that they're taking and things like that to try to, you know, reduce the risk. Especially for female athletes, you know, that have a greater Q angles or lack the, you know, posterior chain strength, or just, you know, simple coordination or control of the knee from, you know, valgusly, that valgus movement. And so we do a lot of jump training in order to improve the ability to land and then explode. I think a lot of coaches kind of just jump right into plyometrics, because, you know, obviously plyometrics is a great way to become a explosive, powerful athletes. We obviously know that, but just jumping into it can be a way to kind of hinder their ability, because you're jumping into it at such a young age. when they get older, especially if they've done it wrong, they're going to sit there because they've done it wrong, they've done it wrong, they've done it wrong. And instead of continuing to climb that ladder to get better to that peak, you know, performance that they're ready for, they kind of just sit there and stagnate and kind of hit that plateau because they started off so young and did not learn the proper ways to land. And then also, you know, injury could take place. And so we do a lot of jump training as far as developing, especially our younger athletes and even into our older athletes, because we find that, that people just don't know how to land. So if I can't land, why would a coach expect me to be able to jump, you know, vertically max effort 6 times in a row or 5 times in a row, whatever it may be. And every time, that's 6 bad landings. That's 6 times that my knee valgusly collapsed. And that, you know, just leads to, possible injury. And so I kind of give, you know, with the technique aspect of things that we talked about earlier, I kind of give my athletes, I tell them about a credit card. I said, hey, what happens when you bend a credit card back and forth over and over and over again? And they're like, eventually it breaks. I was like, exactly. I was like, the first time you do something wrong, they may not break. The second time may not break. The 10th time it may not break. But that 15th time, that dysfunction is what can lead to an injury that you can't come back from. And so that's what they really understand is, hey, you know, I may have done that land wrong, but I can fix it now because we've broken it down. We've done our depth, altitude lands and things like that, toe drops where we jump or we drop down and just simply land and make sure our knees are over our toes, you know, our hips are back. We're in that good UAP position and we're prepared for another jump if that were to come. And obviously we progress into it, being able to, you know, come down, load, explode, land. And so I think that is a big component of our company, is that we want to make sure that kids know how to land and know how to explode and land again to get themselves in the proper positions to hopefully reduce those chances of those ACLs and those injuries that we kind of find common in athletes nowadays. Basically the thing is that ACL preventative measures, you know, and nothing's preventable. You know, you don't ever know something's going to happen. But for those non-contact, being in a good position and being able to decelerate, if we can get our athletes to understand and get them strong, you know, in that posterior chain and being able to decelerate and put them in a better position to have them, you know, on the field and not, you know, in the training room, then we've done our job. And so basically we feel good ACL training is simply good just strength training. If you have a great strength and conditioning program and a great program being set and you're following the right progressions and you're not trying to progress too quickly because it's cool, or you know use bands because the guy and, you know, at LA Fitness is using bands or whatever it may be, just because it looks cool or you saw it on YouTube, and just doing things in the proper manner and progressing is going to have that long-term effect on athletes than it would if you just jumped up and said, all right, we're using chains today. We've never done it, but it looked cool when I saw it on YouTube. I think y'all could, you know, and then you got these 7th grade kids that are like, what is going on? Like, I don't even know how to goblet squat. I don't even have a goblet squat yet, but you're going to expect me to do a front squat with some chains. And so I think we do a great job at progressing and following the right progressions, regressions, to set our athletes up for success and keep them healthy, you know, even past their athletic careers, you know, when they get older, being able to continue to walk and sit down and have good knees and things like that. So I think that's one of our number one priorities on top of our character development is injury reduction to make sure that we are setting them up. Because in the long run, you know, they're there to play a sport. You know, they're in the weight room because they want to get stronger and get faster and get more powerful to play their sport. The weight room isn't their sport. And so our goal is, you know, how good is, you know, your Division I, you know, wide receiver? How good is he on the sidelines if he's, you know, injured? He's not. He's no help. He's not any help because you tried to progress him in something that he wasn't ready for in the weight room, and it, you know, caused a dysfunction that led to his inability to play. So I think there's definitely, you know, obviously we want to stress a body and we want it to adapt, but I think there's a proper progression. You don't want to jump. You don't want to go 5 steps forward whenever all you need to do is go 1 step forward to get that adaption that we want.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. You build a foundation, and so in the future you have a foundation to become stronger. Just like, you know, you tie it back into your very first comment that you made when we first started the podcast. It's just that the foundation is so crucial, and it will translate. You know, for the very select few students who do go on to play Division I or any kind of division college athletic, they'll already mm-hmm. have that solid base. And if you're even more fortunate enough to go on to play in the pros, then, I mean, obviously you're even more set up for success. But if you're one of the vast majority of people who don't go on, then at least you have the working knowledge to safely train yourself, hopefully.
Absolutely.
And even if you're not really training yourself, then you at least have healthy knees. You're not beat to crap anyway.
I couldn't have said that any better. That's exactly how I feel. I mean, and like I said, going, you know, like you said, and there are those select few that are fortunate enough to go, you know, play at the college level, then even go at the professional level. And what we kind of pride ourselves on is, you know, progressing our athletes. So we start our athletes off where they, you know, are going to build that base and that solid base where, man, you're strong. You're stronger in that base. Okay, let's take a step forward. And then obviously, you know, we only have till they're a senior. And then if they're fortunate enough to go play at the college level, we would love for those athletes to go to the college level and they step in that weight room and the coach says, all right, here we go. Let's see what your power clean pull looks like, or your power clean high pull, or your hand clean pull, or whatever it may be that we worked, you know, up to a certain point with our athletes, depending on their abilities. And them sit there and then knock that out. And then coach goes, wow, you know, well, you were taught correctly. There's no better feeling than that, than, you know, having a coach at the higher level sit there and say, man, you were taught correctly. You know, you weren't taught with a dysfunction. And now I have to regress you in college to get you going in the right direction instead, you know. And so we really pride ourselves on doing things correctly. We feel like it's definitely quality over quantity.
Right.
To make sure that they do the little things right, and if they are fortunate enough to go play at that higher level, that they walk into that weight room and have, you know, pride in what they've done, and that coach will sit there and be like, man, you were taught right. That's awesome. And now we can continue to take those steps forward to get you even stronger, even more powerful. And that's when those certain tactics and tools and things like that can come into play for them and continue to have them grow as an athlete. So that's a big goal of ours. Yes, sir.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, Coach, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, you shared a ton of information already, but if anybody wants to get a hold of you and reach out, maybe get some more information about Performance Course or even about anything specific that you mentioned in here, where can they reach you?
You can go to @BryantSteven on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter. You can go to performancecourse.com. It has all our information if you want to kind of learn more about Performance Course and what we do. The guy, our CEO and founder, Gino Pierce, has done a great job with what we do, and it's definitely because of him that I've, you know, had the ability to continue to learn and continue to develop as a coach and as a mentor to, you know, younger athletes. And that's just my simple goal, is if I can influence, you know, one person a day to get them better mentally or physically, then I've accomplished, you know, what I want to do. And it's my goal throughout life to influence as many people as I can and make them the best that they can be. And so, yeah, if you, any questions or anything like that, @BryantSteven, on Twitter, or you can go to performancecourse.com, and you can find a little bit more. There's my bio and, all my, coworkers' bios are on there. You can kind of find a little bit more about us. And, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. I would more than happy to help. I had a lot of people help me, you know, growing up and getting into the industry. And I think that it's our job as strength coaches to continue to develop and continue to help younger strength coaches that are getting into the industry to make sure that we all have a specific goal. And that goal is to get athletes better and get athletes to perform on the field. And, you know, it's influencing and developing these athletes is why we do what we do. And so any questions that anybody has, I'm more than happy to help. I mean, I reach out to people all the time. I don't have all the answers, but if I can help somebody, you know, get to where they're trying to get to, then I'm more than happy to, for sure.
But what good is all that knowledge if we're not going to share it, right?
I mean, absolutely, absolutely.
That, especially if it's good. It doesn't do anybody any good if you just do your job and don't share what you've learned, and then you know, when you're done with a career, you've taught nothing, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's like, I mean, it's not a competition. We're not, you know, I mean,
right.
Obviously we want to be the best that we can be, and we love, you know, saying and you know, doing this and doing that, but I don't have any problem with, you know, I read, you know, reading these books and, damn, that guy had that. That's an awesome idea. I'm gonna learn that, and I'm gonna give it to someone else, you know, and then they give it to someone else. And now we have, you know, just everybody and all these strength coaches learning the correct things, you know, because you allowed yourself to say, hey, this is what you need to do. And that's why I think that, you know, internships that people do and all that stuff are great, because it gives them, you know, that they're allowed to, you know, get themselves kind of in the field and have that guidance from that person that's a little higher up and understands what it is and what's going on, you know, to influence that kid. And that guy goes on to be a head guy somewhere else, and he gives, you know, he helps these strength coaches, and they go on somewhere else. And so, like you said, you know, what's all that, what's good with all the knowledge if you're just going to keep it to yourself, right? And so,
exactly.
I think the more coaches that know the more things correctly, the right things, the better that we're doing our job and the better that our athletes are going to be.
100%. 100%. That's a good mic drop statement right there. Well, hey, Coach Bryant, I appreciate it, and we'll get this out to everybody, and I know it's going to help some kids along the way. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you very soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.